Hello, I'm Morgan Rhodes, and you're listening to Heat Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to join us to talk about a heat rock, you know, fire, flammables, an album that bumps eternally. But today, it's just me. My ace, Oliver Wong, will be back next week, and I am continuing the Alphabet Soup series, which delves into albums that all begin with a certain letter. Today's albums begin with the letter D. So let's get started with J Dilla, Donuts. I don't care. February 11th, 2006, I was a production assistant for a show called Chocolate City with the legendary Garth Trinidad on KCRW. I'd come in a little early that day for my Saturday shift, and when I walked in, Garth greeted me with possibly the worst news. J Dilla had passed away the day before. It was the worst news to get. I was already a fan of what I knew of his work and had just started digging into Donuts, released a little under a week earlier. I don't know that I was even aware of how ill he was, but at the time the beat scene was in full swing here in LA, and I had been paying close attention to its architects and their heroes, including the much revered Mr. Yancey. Needless to say, the mood in the studio that night was somber. Garth told me that a DJ friend of his would be coming to the studio later in the broadcast to do a Dilla set in tribute. That DJ was none other than the legendary DJ Dusk of LA's Root Down crew, who himself would pass away tragically 2.5 months later. That's a night I'll never forget, and because of it, I connect deeply with this album. I'm not sure that I have anything more unique and eloquent to add to the conversations about the seminal Donuts album that hasn't already been said. I will say that what puts this album at the top of a really long list of my favorite albums goes just beyond Dilla's ear and the integrity of his crates. It's how he used samples on this album. Without vocals or raps, his talent for assemblage is to me unmatched. What he does here with what he has is intentional. It's the absolute definition to me of meticulous. When I listen to Donuts, I imagine Jay's hands, hands that his mother massaged while he was ill so that he could use his mixer. I picture him picking up the needle and placing it strategically on a record over and over, searching for and finding those perfect bits that, when added to perfect bits of another song, make one old perfect song. I think about the imagination of a man that could envision 2 to 3 samples colliding like atoms at one time, and how that's as much science as it is art. Here, he takes a bit of the Jimmy Etley Sounds Charlie's theme. And adds it to ESG UFO. To make this Geek Down. Now, to be fair, UFO has been sampled over 51 times, including one of my favorite uses, Big Daddy Kane's Ain't No Half Steppin'. So pick a BC date, cause you're history. I'm the authentic poet to get lyrical. For you to beat me, it's gonna take a miracle. And step into me, yo, that's a wrong move. But on Geek Down, J Dilla doesn't just flip the sample. Especially when blended with Charlie's theme, he creates a vibe. It's ominous, it's spooky, and it gives me a feeling that I've never had before listening to it used in other places. And to me, that's part of J Dilla's special gift, his ability to reimagine oft-used samples in new ways. It's the places where he saw the meat of a thing and what he decided to pair it with. Add to that, Knowing that almost all of the songs on this album were prepared while he lay in a hospital bed battling an illness that would eventually take his life, these songs feel all the more intentional. It's him telling us things in passing. And I'm so moved by a young man with numbered days teaching us how to reconsider loops and echoes and crackle and stutter beats and drums and clips and timing and restraint, just as he's also saying goodbye. I've heard many a music supervisor speak about measuring a song's greatness by the goosebumps it elicits. On Donuts, the goosebumps start for me with Work On It. Fourteen years later, I still get them, and I get them every time I play this whole record. It's the longest song on the album and throws me into deep feels that continue on into the next song, Waves. Full confession, I'm not a Dilla expert. I don't think you can be, as his music continues to yield so much and tell us so much about his ethic and his genius. We are still learning him. I'm just a fanatic. And all I know for sure is that Donuts is a heat rock. Period. Next up, The Dude, Quincy Jones. My lord, the star power. Michael Jackson, Patty Austin, Louis Johnson, Herbie Hancock, Rod Temperton, come on, Ernie Watts, Stevie Wonder, Serena Wright, Chuck Findley, James Ingram, Greg Fillengain, squad. But would you expect anything else than magic from this? I didn't, and the maestro, Quincy Jones, delivered. This song is my jam. I could say that this is a straight-up R&B album, which might be hard for some of our listeners to chew because R&B doesn't sound like this at all today. But it did in 1981. In 1981, you had several people on horns, several people on strings, several vocals and backing vocals and pianos, several vocal arrangers, several genres. There's personnel on the album only credited with hand claps. As I mentioned, though, this album is disco and soul and jazz and yacht rock and world, all the genres. But would you expect anything else from Quincy Jones? I didn't, and he delivered. This album, in a word, thoughtful. Philip Milner of Pitchfork said of the album, "Records like these sketch out funky templates and trust guest musicians to stamp the tune with their own identity, much in the manner of a producer repurposing a sample into something fresh, but also evocative of its original source. Not bad for an album recorded on tape and consoles only." Although the album's sequencing feels to me like one long song, it's actually just several songs connected beautifully around one central theme as I see it, the groove. It's not so funky that the beats take over, and it's not so heavily vocal that the musicianship takes a back seat. It's just well orchestrated and executed. But would you expect anything else from an OG of this magnitude, whose next album would be Thriller? I wouldn't. He delivered some heat, like this. I 12 Grammy nods, 3 wins, fire. And if you never knew anything at all about Quincy Jones prior to The Dude, this album tells you everything you need to know. He's a composer, a prolific arranger, gifted with the special ability to bring fire out of the people he works with. He understands the subtleties of rhythm and song structure and only recruits the best to flesh out the vision. But for those already familiar with him, would you expect any less from Quincy Jones? I didn't, and he delivered. The Dude is a heat rock. Next up, Pastor T.L. Barrett and the Youth for Christ Choir. Do Not Pass Me By, Volume 2. I want to tell you again, pass me not. Pastor T.L. Barrett is familiar to crate diggers, mostly on the strength of the title track to an album that was released in 1971 called Like a Ship Without a Sail. But it's this album, Do Not Pass Me By, the follow-up that was released by Numero Records 3 years ago, that's one of my faves. Recorded in Chicago, Pastor Barrett gathered up 40 kids, got up in the studio, and produced a funkified gospel explosion. Hand claps, tambourines, guitars, and conviction all meet on this one, and it bumps. And I mean bumps. It's super on brand for Numero, considering their Good God funk compilations, but there's something so special about this one being so under the radar for so long, and being just the pastor, the children's church, a director, and a few good instrumentalists. In my opinion, it's super sync ready, and trust me, I'm looking for an opportunity. It's the reinterpretation of gospel standards that's so much the sound of 70s contemporary gospel music. Not quite as polished and pretty as early Edwin Hawkins, but with just as much power. Have a listen to the beginning of I Shall Wear a Crown. God is trying to tell you something. I highly recommend this album for the bump factor, for the funk factor, and just because I'm churchy. Let's keep it going. You knew this was coming. Sade, Diamond Life. No need to ask, he's a smooth operator. Came out in 1984, and I was younger, and I heard this jam continuously on the radio here in LA, my beloved LA, on all of the stations, including K-Ace and KGLH, and their urban contemporary formats. By this time, the band had already made a splash across the pond, and though we were late stateside, we quickly became obsessed with the band and its frontwoman and this brand new UK soul sound that was jazzy and Caribbean and soulful. We still had a few years before the brand new Heavies and Soul to Soul and Misha Paris and Lisa Stansfield and Simply Red would show up in our lives, bringing their own brand. But in 1984, Sade the band and Sade the singer didn't sound like anyone else. I know that lately things haven't been so good. Musicianship of Paul Denman, Stuart Matthewman, and Andrew Hale coupled with that super breathy, husky, swoon timbre that is Sade's voice, was a perfect combination. Shouts to Stacey Ladisaw and Johnny Gill. Diamond Life smolders. It's a slow burn, like Oliver Wong likes to say. It is Quiet Storm meets Exotic. It's like a smoky club where everyone's pretty and artsy, but also down to earth. And while this is not my favorite Sade album, there are hits on here, starting with my personal jam, Cherry Pie. There's a lot to love about this album, but I love the stories. Frankie's caught up in some sort of entanglement. And there's obviously a situation in Hang On To Your Love. Sade tells these stories with so much longing in her voice, punctuated by the ever-present saxophone, and that's intoxicating. Why is it a heat rock? Yo, you know why. I'm so glad she decided to pursue music as opposed to fashion design. We are all the better for it. Diamond Life took 6 weeks to record. I'm glad they had the time. Last but not least, let's close it out with The Roots and their 1995 debut, Do You Want More? I was a chocolate boy, raised in the cellar with the rhythm like Ella. Walked the mega tribe streets to the subway where I lay till the train stopped and a nigga hop high. Used to do the pop dance to the Planet Rock at the block party. Everybody jock, who me? It's the MC. Now I gotta shout out a little spot in Atlanta called the Lion's Den that had this bumping when me and my brother fell through that day. Part of the golden age of hip-hop and my own glory years, this song and this album were so fresh. A new vibe, a new sound, a new way for me to experience hip-hop, and I was super sprung right away. The album starts out with The Roots letting us know to get ready because they're on something different. They said,
and you are all about to witness some organic hip-hop jazz. 100% groove, and you don't stop. It's from The Roots, Philadelphia-based rap group. Now check, I'ma start it like this. Yo, dig it.
I marveled, and I couldn't have done that unless they were marvelous, and that they were. Black Thought Then and Now was so nice with the wordplay, and I thought it matched nicely with top-tier musicianship. QL on the drums, and the added personnel of Scott Storch, Malik B, Joshua Roseman, Ursula Rucker, Cassandra Wilson, Razelle, Graham Haynes. In hindsight, I think some of the track names actually set a mood. You've got Mellow My Man, I Remain Calm, Lazy Afternoon, and then the full mood of Swept Away. My Lord. Sways and like a sorceress, I slays foes and rivals who want to come this way. They better pay attention or a pension, not to mention suspension from the microphone plus detention. Trey eight O's will vacate those if it's drama with my henchmen. I love the textures of the album, scats with beatboxing, with bagpipes, with Philly. What was so authentic and organic to the band was novel to me. And because of this, it got so much play, especially this song, which is one of my favorites from the album. Listen, we all have cuts on albums that stay on repeat, and this was that for me. There's so much more I could say about this album, but I'm hoping that a potential guest will pick this one to dive into, and when that happens, Oliver and I will continue the conversation. Just know that for me, these brothers changed the game in such necessary ways. And because of it, I have great memories of this time in music, and I thank the Roots for being a part of it. Well, that's going to do it for this installment of the Alphabet Soup series. I obviously left a few albums on the table, as I am wont to do, specifically La Lupe's Dance with the Queen, Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style, Bobby Hutcherson's Dialogue, and lastly, Prince's Dirty Mind that we covered in our episode with Illa J. Listen, we want to hear from you. Which albums do you love that begin with the letter D that might not have gotten covered here, and why? Please do drop us a note on Twitter and let us know. Oliver will pick this back up with the letter E, and I do hope you will join him. Thanks as always for your tweezies and your retweezies. Till next time.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.